Howdy, folks. Reverend Dhamma Bodhi here. Welcome to the Dhamma Vinaya Order Sunday program. I am joined by Aaron Smith and Upasaka Dustin. And today we are talking about the last discourse in the anthology that I put together on the Samyutta Nikaya. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen to get to that discourse. So this is Samyutta Nikaya 56.12, and it's called the Tathagata Sutta, which is translated as the Realized Ones. Tathagata is like one of the names the Buddha went by. It literally means somebody coming from suchness, or somebody who has gone to suchness. Tata means suchness, and then agata means someone who has gone. So you could say the person coming from Nibbana, or the person having gone to Nibbana. That's like the title. So Sujato Bhikkhu has translated it as realized ones, meaning people who have realized Nibbana. Okay, and so this discourse is in SM 56, which is the last. So the Samyutta Nikaya is made up of Samyuttas, and there's 56 total main ones. And so this is the last group of Samyuttas, or group of discourses inside. The Samyuttas are basically focused on the Noble Truths. So this last discourse is a short discourse that basically is talking about the Four Noble Truths. Okay. So I'll go ahead and read it. So here it goes. This is the noble truth of suffering. Such was the vision, knowledge, wisdom, realization, and light that arose in the realized ones regarding teachings not learned before from another. This noble truth of suffering should be completely understood. This noble truth of suffering has been completely understood. This is the noble truth of the origin of suffering. This noble truth of the origin of suffering should be given up. This noble truth of the origin of suffering has been given up. This is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. This noble truth of the cessation of suffering should be realized. This noble truth of the cessation of suffering has been realized. This is the noble truth of the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering. This noble truth of the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering should be developed. This noble truth of the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering has been developed. Such was the vision, knowledge, wisdom, realization, and light that arose in the realized ones regarding teachings not learned before from another. Okay. So as you can see, it's a short, concise presentation of the Four Noble Truths. And it is summarizing what is in the discourse on rolling the wheel of Dhamma. So that's actually in 56.11 is the full discourse where the Buddha is, it's said to be his first discourse after his enlightenment, and he presents the Four Noble Truths, and that gives you the more in-depth presentation. Whereas this is just zooming in on just the part about the Noble Truths. And the idea is like for each of the Four Noble Truths, there's three different aspects of it. So there's the first aspect is just presenting the conceptual knowledge. The second aspect is presenting a practice. And then the third aspect is presenting what the fruit of the practice is, or the result of the practice. Okay, so you have this is the noble truth of suffering. So that's here's the first conceptual knowledge. Then the truth should be completely understood. That's the second, that's the practice that you do. And then the truth of the suffering has been understood. So that's the fruit or the fruition. Then you have origin of suffering. That's the concept. The origin should be given up. That's the practice. Then the origin has been given up. That's the result. Then you have, this is the cessation of suffering. The cessation should be realized. And then the cessation has been realized. And then finally, you have the practice, which means the Eightfold Path. So this is the practice. The practice should be fully developed. The practice has been fully developed. Okay. Okay, if we want to look at the Pali words, we'll switch it to the Pali view. Okay, so idam dukkham, that means this is suffering. Dukkha is suffering, and then arya satya means noble truth. So dukkha, arya satya. Yeah, then you have... okay, I'm reached the limit of my Pali. I'm not sure exactly which part of it means completely understood. But anyway, it's dukkha, and then saying further about the being understood. Okay, then origin of suffering. So that's dukkha samudayam. So dukkha is the suffering, samudaya is origin. Okay, then dukkha samudayam, pahatabana, that means the giving up. Then dukkha samudayam, pahahinanti, that would mean has been given up. Okay, then cessation of suffering, that would be dukkha nirodham. So you have dukkha and then the word niroda, that means cessation. Okay, then dukkha nirodham. Yeah, then again, I'm reaching my limit of Pali. I'm not sure exactly what should be realized, what the Pali is for that. Okay, then you have dukkha nirodha gamani patipada. So that would be dukkha cessation going on. Then patipada means practice. So I think this would be something like suffering, cessation, going on the path, practice. Patipada is the practice, yeah. Developed is bhave tabanti, which gets to the word bhava or bhavana, which has to do with cultivation or development. So that's sometimes meditation practice will be talked about as cultivation, but developed here, the word is bhave tabanti. And then here has been developed, that would be bhavitanti, I guess, has been developed. Okay, and then, so the idea that this comes at the end of the Samyutta Nikaya, the Four Noble Truths, is like a teaching that is summarizing what is in the Samyutta Nikaya. It's coming at the end. So if you want to go more in-depth in what is suffering, then that would be the process of rebirth talked about in the 12 links. It would be identifying with the five aggregates. It would be identifying with the six sense fields. That would be what suffering means. So to understand it would mean you would have to understand those teachings. Origin of suffering, again, you would go back into the teaching on the 12 links and you would look at how craving arises from sensation, how aversion arises from sensation. But then also you would look at how ignorance arises from not being aware of the heart mind. And so ignorance of the heart mind results in identifying and attaching to the body and mind itself. Ignorance of craving and aversion arising out of sensation is what leads to acting out on the craving and aversion, which is also causing suffering. So the full meaning then of what's the origin of suffering would be what's understanding ignorance, craving, and aversion as related to the 12 links. And then cessation of suffering would mean the cessation of ignorance, craving, and aversion within the context of the 12 links. Okay, then the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering, that would mean the Eightfold Path. And then inside of the Eightfold Path, you have the 16 exercises of mindfulness of breathing, which gives you the nuts and bolts of the meditation practice. So fully developing the path that leads to the cessation of suffering would mean fully developing the Eightfold Path and the 16 exercises of mindfulness of breathing. So the idea then is the Four Noble Truths is just summarizing all of that, all of those core teachings that are inside the Samyutta Nikaya. So it's the later Buddhism, the later discourses that started making the Four Noble Truths be the core theory. The earlier ones, the core theory is the 12 links. And the Four Noble Truths is just summarizing what's in the 12 links. It's the later Buddhism where the Four Noble Truths becomes the core theory. And then it gets into talking about the three marks of existence, that everything's impermanent, everything is suffering, everything is not self. That becomes more the core teaching, which is more like truth claims about the nature of reality. The point being that's the later understanding of the Four Noble Truths, talking about suffering and talking about impermanence and not self. That's a later development. It's not what's in the early teachings. Okay, so any questions, comments?
John, do you recommend a book that is a good translation of the 12 links that is kind of like, I mean, I always really like Thich Nhat Hanh because I feel like he makes the teachings really accessible. I'm wondering if there's anything that you can recommend that would go into this material that's like that.
Tanisara Bhikkhu has a book called The Paradox of Becoming.
The Paradox of Becoming.
And so that's a deep dive into the 12 links and talking about the 12 links as like the core teachings inside the early Buddhism. But it's a pretty in-depth book and pretty wonky.
Oh, okay. So in other words, no, there isn't like an easy.
Unfortunately, it's not. Yeah, there hasn't been like a more user-friendly version of it.
Okay.
So the problem is most people, when they talk about the 12 links, they have a later understanding of it. Hmm. It's not as grounded and practical. Hmm. But Tanisara gives you like a full deep dive into it. If you want a more practical application of the teachings, you have the discourse summaries from Goenka. Um, And so these are basically the Dharma talks that are given when you go to a 10-day Vipassana course with the Goenka tradition. And so they specialize in five of the 12 links, contact, sensation, intention, emotion, acting, and the result. So that's a deep dive into five of the 12 links, and it is related to the Goenka Vipassana practice, where it's mindfulness of breathing up the nose and then a body scan meditation. And so you're working with sensation and emotion arising from the sensation. And so this is a very down-to-earth, practical way of talking about five of the 12 links.
And what do you think of, so I have no direct practice with Goenka. My Vipassana practice came through Shinzen Young.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I found sort of off-putting about some people that I know who went to learn about Vipassana through Goenka is that they're very rigid about having other teachers.
Yeah.
And whenever somebody tells me not to have another teacher, I'm like, oh, like I can't deal with that. And so I'm curious, but a lot of what you just described is what I learned through Shinzen Young. So what do you think is specific about that practice that's useful that you won't find in other Vipassana practices?
Mm-hmm. I agree. They are rigid. Like I've done 2 10-day courses with Goenka, and I would like to do more, but they're like, oh, you can't do this if you're doing something else. Or if, it is a bummer that they're kind of rigid about it.
Yeah. I'm not real into that. That feels very off-putting to me.
I would say the three most influential meditation lineages from Theravada Buddhism. You have Goenka Vipassana, which is part of the Ledi Sayadaw Vipassana lineage. And so Ledi Sayadaw was a Burmese monk. And he was like in the early 1900s. And he taught mindfulness of breathing at the nose and then mindfulness of body sensations as the four elements. And he's the one that really kicked off the kind of popular Vipassana practice within Burma, because it was basically trying to kick out the British and preserve the teachings, the tradition. So he was teaching everyone mindfulness of breathing at the nose and mindfulness of body as four elements. Then later on in the lineage, you have Ubekin and Goenka. And I think it's with Ubekin that you get mindfulness of sensation as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and also bringing in the links of dependent origination to talk about it.
So I want to stop you. So the 12 links are the law of dependent origination. That's another word for it. Got it.
Yeah. So in the Samyutta Nikaya, the teachings on dependent origination is the teachings on the 12 links.
Okay. Cool.
And if you go deep into that, there tends to be two parts of it. One is aware of sensations in the body and the emotions arising from the sensations. And then another part of it is you're aware of the heart mind, and is there any movement within the heart mind, and you're letting go of that and coming back to the heart mind. So Goenka Vipassana does a good job of the sensation, then the emotions arising from the sensations. And so that's one of the main lineages. Then you have the Thai Forest lineage, which starts with Ajahn Mun, and he started around the same time as Ledi Sayadaw. And then you have sub lineages from that. So you have Ajahn Lee, Ajahn Chah. Those are kind of the two most famous sub lineages. And they're the ones that really revived the 16 exercises of mindfulness of breathing. And they do the mindfulness of breathing and mindfulness of the body. And then they shift to then doing the heart mind practice. So that's really the full ecosystem of practice.
And would you say that heart mind practice, it maps on to metta meditation? Is that what that is? Are they the same or are they different?
No, the heart mind just meaning, if you look at the 16 exercises, you start with mindfulness of breathing and the body. Then you're working with mindfulness of sensation at a more subtle level, and you're in the meditative absorptions. And then you get to mindfulness of the heart mind, citta. And so that's really like awareness of awareness itself. So that would be like in Chan or Zen Buddhism, it would be like, who am I, or what's my face before I'm born? But in the early teaching, it's just you're aware of the heart mind, and is it trying to identify and attach to something? And you're letting go of that, coming back to awareness of awareness practice.
And yeah. And where does Mahasi Sayadaw fit into all of this? What's his
yeah.
lineage?
Okay, so that's another Burmese lineage. And Mahasi Sayadaw was younger than Lady Sayadaw. Lady Sayadaw is the one who really kicked it off and made it a big deal. Then Mahasi came later. And his teaching is mindfulness of breathing in the belly and then cognitively labeling whatever's coming up. So it gets kind of wonky, but the 16 exercises has the four establishments inside of it. But there's definitely a set order that you go through. You start with breathing in the body, then you're with more subtle body sensation, then you get to the heart mind. And then the deeper context is the 12 links to be aware of the breathing, the body, the more subtle body sensation, and the heart mind.
And where did the jhanas fit into all of this?
In the 16 exercises, it would be exercises, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
Exercises 5, 6, 7, and 8 is talking about the four jhanas. But in early Buddhism, the jhanas mean you're aware of your whole body. You're aware of your breathing. Whereas in the Mahasi system, they have the later understanding of jhana, where if you're in jhana, you're not aware of your body and mind. So they teach what's known as dry insight or dry vipassana, where you just develop access concentration, and then you're aware of breathing in the belly, and then you're just labeling whatever arises. And so they use the Satipatthana Sutta as their main discourse. And so they've turned it into awareness of the body, awareness of feelings, awareness of the mind, and then awareness of the three marks of existence. So they don't go in the order. Like the 16 exercises, there's a definite order. In Mahasi, there's not an order. It's just whatever arises, you're labeling it.
And so all of these little distinctions, what do you make of all of that? Is it important? Do all roads lead to awakening? What's your take on all that?
That the Lady Sayadaw lineage, that includes Goenka Vipassana and the Thai Forest lineage, are much more in keeping with the early yogic teachings that are in the Samyutta Nikaya. The Mahasi Vipassana lineage is based on later teachings, and the practice is not what was done in the early yogic teaching. It's like a later version, a later development. So yeah, there's debate between the different lineages of which is the better one and stuff like that. For me, I like the earlier yogic version, just because I think, I don't know, I just like it better, and it tends to go better with body centered trauma therapy. Because the body centered trauma therapy you get aware of your body sensation, and then the habit energies that come up, and you work with them and metabolize them. So I think the early yogic teachings, that's what they were actually talking about. Yeah, the Mahasi is just this, it's more kind of dissociated to me. It's more kind of abstract. And there's a lot of like literally cognitively labeling what's coming up. Whereas in the Goenka, you're not trying to label anything. Yeah. You're trying to be aware of things within the links, but you're not labeling things. You're actually trying to cut off the conceptual mind. Yeah.
I mean, I get that. And when I was taught, because I, you know, Shinzen uses labels. Mm-hmm. And the labels are meant to bring you back to so it's a concentration building technique, right? So
yeah.
When you are, you know, it helps you to stay on the object of concentration. And eventually the label becomes unnecessary, or you don't rely on it as much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I think there is an initial sort of mental conceptual thing that happens when you're labeling, but ultimately I feel like you get past that. And I mean, it is interesting. Like, I know from my own reflections on my meditation practice that when, and from as somebody who's had a lot of trauma in life, that initially contacting body sensation was so severely discombobulating, disorienting, and unpleasant, that having that that mental I needed it to be a little bit more disassociated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To build affect tolerance in terms of contacting that physical attention to the body. And I don't know. You know, I mean, I know what you're saying, right? And that is the objective, is to contact it and be in acceptance of it and create spaciousness around it so that you're willing to contact it without contracting or, you know, like creating reversion, right? But I mean, how much do you feel like a person's own individual constitution is going to dictate which of these practices is most effective?
Yeah, I think that's why I like comparing the Goenka Vipassana with somatic experiencing, because the theory and practice is very similar. And then, but yeah, like one of the problems with the Goenka Vipassana is kind of this rigid way of doing it. So it's hard to adapt it for specific needs. The idea in somatic experiencing is like you start with helping the person focus on neutral to pleasant sensation. And you do that first to build up the stability. And once that's built up, then you do the pendulation where you go from pleasant to unpleasant, and then you go back to the pleasant. And then you also do the titration. So when you're in touch with the unpleasant, you only take in a small dose, and then you go back to the pleasant. So you could easily adapt the Goenka teachings to do that kind of practice. So you would not be in a situation where you're directly having to be with unpleasant sensation that's intense and overwhelming. The problem with the Mahasi is they talk about the four establishments as just four possible things you could be aware of. So it could be the body, it could be emotions, it could be thoughts, but there's no set order. And then they focus on emotion, and in the early teaching, it's more you focus on body sensation as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So if you're feeling an emotion, you want to be aware of where do I feel it in my body as sensation, as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and you actually don't really want to be involved in the story that much. So that's what's missing, I think, from the Mahasi Vipassana is you don't have this ground up order where you start with the body and then bring in the heart mind. And they don't have as much of the somatic technique, I guess you would say. To me, the ideal would be you would have like one-on-one counseling where you're helping somebody learn how to work with these things, and then gradually have them develop a meditation practice where they learn how to do it safely. So you would have kind of guided meditation in the context of counseling. And then over time, they could develop like a daily practice. And then over time, they could eventually do like a whole retreat or whatever. That's the problem of Goenka Vipassana, is if you don't have the understanding of trauma, you could just kind of get thrown into the deep end and then.
And I mean, there is meditation injury. I mean, it does get talked about. Certain circles. So, and I, you know, it's just not trauma informed, you know, which is weird, because it seems like the Buddha had a deep understanding of trauma.
Yeah. So if you look at it inside the Samyutta Nikaya, there's teachings that say, yeah, you're aware of body sensations and you're aware of the underlying habit energies that come up from the body sensations. And he'll say like, yeah, you have pleasant sensation, there'll be craving that comes up. If there's unpleasant sensation, there'll be pushing away. And yeah, that maps into trauma therapy, that you have sensations and then you have the habit energies that come out of it. And that is the trauma that you're working with. And the whole thing is metabolizing that. So yeah, that's there in the early teaching. Yeah. But yeah, the short answer would be, yeah, you always want to focus on neutral to pleasant sensation first. And then Goenka, that would be breathing at the nose. And then over time, yeah, you're gradually getting to the body scan. So yeah, that would be what we would, ideally, that's what we would want to develop, is a trauma-informed version of that, where, yeah, like in other words, you could use the somatic experiencing techniques, but you could use a Buddhist vocabulary to say what it is that you're doing. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like we're just now kind of really understanding, oh, this is the early yogic teaching as compared to the later scholastic teaching. And so far we're still developing more grounded, accessible ways of talking about it. Yeah. There's also, yeah, Tanisara Bhikkhu has his book on meditation, which is takes you through the 16 exercises from the early perspective. So that's pretty good. Yeah, Tanisara is just kind of wonky, so it's like, okay, any further questions, comments, discussion? Okay.
Not really.
So we can finish for today.
Thank you, John.
Sure. Thank you all.
I appreciate it.